and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Astros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter. They can find me at Strohs411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Strohs.
And we have a special guest all the way from, is it Pearland or San Diego today?
Today I'm in Cali.
Okay. All right. So we got Clay Hensley. Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at CHensley32. And you can find me on Instagram at Clay Hensley.
All righty. So, guys, we got some stuff to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about what Alex Bregman came out and said. He did a little, a little giveaway with Mattress Mack today. And he had some things to say about himself and about some former teammate and about the Astros as a whole. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the bullpen because we haven't talked to Clay since James Click has basically come out and said, No more relievers for you. No more. You're cut off. And we'll talk about some more on this Locked On Astros podcast. Remember, you can get Locked On Astros on podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. When getting car, tell your smart device played podcast, Locked On Astros. All right. So I know that Lance McCullers was coming off the Tommy John surgery. Last year was last year's first year off or?
Yeah.
Yes.
He came back.
Yeah. So last year was his first year back. So this is his first full year back. So I know that Bregman said today on Lance McCullers, it's going to be awesome. I think Lance is going to have an unbelievable year. I think Lance is going to have the best season of his career. I have all the confidence in the world in him going out there and dominating. So what do you think? I don't know if you ever had Tommy John, but I know that you probably were around a lot of people that did. What do you think about that second season coming back from Tommy John?
You know, I think that's probably when you start to see the player or the pitcher start to come back to a little bit of normalcy if it was a player that was a successful one on the field prior to the injury. So, you know, you come back and you got to understand. So I did go through a surgery. I had my labrum repaired. And then at the end of my career, I started tearing my UCL and chose, pitching as long as I did and some of the things that had happened with the World Series and all that, I was just very thankful. And my kids were starting school, so the timing was right for me to exit. But It's an arduous process, man. It is grinding. You got to think about this. You have to go have it's so common now when people have injuries and repairs and everybody just throws UCL or everybody just throws Tommy John, you know, or whatever surgery because of, technology and the way it looks so easy. But when you're actually the person that is cut on and that it is done to, you have to remember, you have to go back out there now in a very short period of time compared to how old you are and how long you've been alive and stretch out a ligament that has been attached to your bone and learn how to throw again, learn how to pitch again. Okay. And then you're also having to do it at the highest level and you got to do it inside of a year or so is what they say, right? That's the kind of the standard of like, oh, when a guy comes back, it's about 12, 14 months. Doing stretching, making that ligament as if it's the same one that was already on there for the last 25, 30 years that you've been stretching out your entire life and throwing with. And is, doing that is painful. That's hard. The mental highs and lows that you have when you're coming back from that, especially at the highest level when you're playing in the major leagues, because it's not about like, oh, you know, I have to have surgery. I don't feel great today. It's like, oh, how am I going to put food on the table if this doesn't work out? So you're dealing with a lot of mental stuff that's going on. On top of that, you got to learn how to throw again. And you don't only have to learn how to throw again. You take it up a tick further. You have to learn how to throw to get the best hitters in the world out. That's hard. So usually what you see is guys, yes, they do come back. They come back with success. They come back within 12 to 14 months. But the player's never going to tell you this, but I'll tell you this. They don't feel like themselves till about 18 to 24 months out. And it's funny because you guys know Doug Brokel very well. Brokel and I were in the bullpen together in San Diego, and I had my surgery and stuff. And, I was going through rehab. If you know Doug, he's had every surgery you could possibly fathom, you know, and has come back throwing. And he told me right on the button, he's like, hey, it's going to take 18 months. And 18 months, you're going to feel perfect. You'll feel just like you did before you had it. And I was like, you know, okay, thanks. Appreciate the positive talk. And I'm not even kidding you, to the nose. Within days, I was like, I was out there pitching and all of a sudden it was, dude, it was fine. And I was like, okay, that's where my arm's supposed to be. Everything just clicked. And it was 18 months on the, I'll never forget that. It was freaky. But I guess when you have 14, 15 surgeries on your arm, you kind of know what's going on with Doug. So yeah, I think this probably would be the time where he's going to actually have success. He's got some of the, got it under his belt that he can pitch. He's back. He can pitch. He's able to do it at the highest level. Now he's going to take it a tick further and use that entire offseason, which he did this past year, and get ready to dominate. That's a different beast. That's when you're out there and you're a player ready to eat. You know, you're not sitting there going, hey, can I eat? So yeah, I think they're spot on the nose. I think you're going to see something special out of him this year. And I hope he does.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, there was another thing he was asked about. Obviously, he was asked about losing George Springer, and he said it would kind of be painful to see him in a Blue Jays uniform. But, you know, he wishes him well because they still think highly of their teammate. But they asked him about, you know, bringing Michael Brantley back. And he did say, he said, man, I was so pumped to see him come back in an Astros uniform. He said, Mike is unbelievable teammate. He's an unbelievable player. He's got a dynamic bat. He's always hitting line drives and all parts of the field. It's fun to hit behind him and in front and or in front of him. And so I think to this team, I think losing Springer is big, but I think bringing back Brantley is even bigger, because if you were to lose both of those veteran bats in this lineup, I think that the damage is a little bit more far reaching and a little bit harder to recover from, not only Brantley's bat, but his leadership and his veteran presence and the way the Astros look up to him. And he feels like he's a part of the Astros organization, and he feels appreciated because I believe he was pretty much.
He's got 23 million reasons to feel right, that way.
Right. But you know, I really think he was going, and it's like James Click had said, and we mentioned this a couple shows ago, that James Click had talked about the fact that you don't really realize what you have until you're about to lose it. And then I think they realized they were about to lose Michael Brantley and they didn't want to lose him. And so they went, and I think they countered what the Blue Jays were offering him. And I believe that's when Michael Brantley signed. That's what James Click made it sound like. And so that's a really good thing to have him back. I think the lineup's going to look solid this year. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, I think so too. And we have to think that Yordan Alvarez will be coming back to the lineup for the first time. We have to, it's hard to imagine that he wasn't in the lineup at all last year. And the Astros suffered last year because he was a big part of the 2019 offense. And a lot of us, I know he struggled a little bit in playoffs, but he was the big part of the offense. And I think that We got to look at it like this. We lost George Springer. We brought back Michael Brantley, but now we're getting Alvarez back, and we bringing back Jason Castro. Oh, we haven't talked to him about Jason Castro. What is it about Jason Castro, and what does he offer to pitchers, especially the young pitchers on Astros staff?
Well, you know, he's definitely the solid added depth that was really the priority, honestly, for Houston to go after this offseason. And I they ticked him off, you know, pretty early. And I think that, you know, I believe, you know, James Click is out there also stating that, you know, that was one of our number one priorities, was getting a legitimate backup catcher. What he provides to, you know, pitchers and stuff is, you know, he knows how to call a game. You know, he does know how to call a game. And you know that whenever he does come in, and you're the guy that is on the mound when he's backup, that you can have confidence in that. And so, look, that's the biggest thing that you only look for, you know, from a pitcher standpoint. You know, obviously from the front office and the brass, they want to see a guy come out there, catch games, know how to work a staff, and be able to put the ball in play. You know, that nobody's going to expect him to go out there and hit, you know, 300 or anything like that. But he is also a guy that has pop. You know what I mean? Like, he does have pop. Well, yeah.
Eric expects him to hit 325 home runs.
Yep. Yeah. The guy we drafted.
All fans do. offense, dude. Trust me, they expect us. I've gotten yelled at for fans because I lost them in fantasy, you know, like because I had a bad week or something. I'm like, why'd you pick me? Why'd you pick me? But the reality is like he adds good solid depth, and he's depth in a sense to where when you're out there on the bump and he comes out, you have confidence in what he's doing, and you have confidence in your catcher. You and him are on the same page. He works staffs well. You know, I think that going back and just rewinding just a second about Michael Brantley, I never thought he was going anywhere. Don't you remember me saying that?
I did.
I was like, he ain't going anywhere.
You called it.
Well, because look, Springer was gone. There was not even the inclination that he was going to test the market and get the max value, because that's once in a lifetime opportunity. I don't fault him for it. But, you know, for as far as the team goes, you know, talking about the loss of Springer, they're not talking about it. That ship sailed. It's gone. He's made his decision. We wish him well. He was a great teammate when he was here, but done with it. We're not talking about Brantley anymore. So the only people that are really concerned about this topic with Springer is honestly probably the fans out there. The brass is done with it. Everybody in Houston is done with it. It's time to move on to the 2021 season without him running around out in the outfield, and let's shore up those pieces. And that was the goal. Brantley wasn't going anywhere. Brantley was doing exactly what anybody would do in the situation, is you play the free agent market. He was going to field offers just to maximize where he felt comfortable, and that's here in Houston, and he did. And they brought him back, and you can't let a guy like that go knowing full and well that you're probably going to lose Springer and lose all that production from your lineup. You know, I mean, the guy's hitting 300, you know, out of the last five seasons or whatnot. You know, there's only four people in that time span that are clicking it off like he is, batting like that, you know, striking out 10.1% in that span. That's impressive. And in that ballpark, you don't have to be a home run hitter, so to speak, like you have to do in somebody else's ballpark. You need to hit contact. He's a contact guy. So he's going to hit for average. He's going to leave a handful of them are going to leave the yard, and you're going to get a player. You know what you're getting out of Brantley. You know that you're going to get a guy that's going to be marking it around 290 to 300, 310, and he's going to give you double digit home runs. That's all you can ask for from a guy. To me, that's worth a lot of money. That's worth a lot of money. And I'm glad they brought him back. I didn't think he was going anywhere. I think he's going to be one of the bigger veterans that the lineup's going to, you know, and this lineup's kind of deep. They're going to rely on him, and he's going to be one of the leaders on him.
You know, and I think one of the storylines that I'm interested to see, and we talked about this a little bit, is a lot of people are still asking, are we going to get a center fielder? No, we're not going to get a center fielder. Miles Straw is our center fielder. He's only had 199 at-bats, and he performed very, very well at the minor league level. People forget, I believe he hit over 300 when he was down there, and he, you know, he was a contact.
He stole a lot of bases, too.
Yeah, he stole a lot of bases. He's got a lot of speed. I think, here's the thing. There are so many storylines with this team that if Miles Straw isn't the head storyline, I think that bodes well for him. It kind of takes the pressure off of him, and it allows him to play, I think, more freely. And he's a kid from Florida. He's a hard worker. You know, he's a smaller sized player. And so someone like that, to me, is going to go out and grind. And whether fans like him in center field or not, he's going to go out there and he's going to give you everything. And he's going to, you know what I'm saying?
No, without a doubt. But with that being said, I think it's unrealistic from a fan's standpoint to have the expectations that, you know, Straw is going to put up numbers that Springer did, just because they're playing the same position.
Right.
You know, exactly. Nobody's looking for him to cover up.
Nobody's
that production.
Doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's looking for him to cover up that production. So, but what they are looking for, as one of the freaking fastest guys out there, is they're looking for, hey, we can probably work with you a little bit at the plate. You know, understand that, you know, don't even think about Springer, because the comparison's not the same. That we're not even talking about that. You're just in the lineup and you're a center fielder, but they're going to want him to figure it out at the plate, you know, kind of start, you know, be not necessarily a force to reckon with like Springer, but be something that's a threat. And they want him to steal bags. They want him to get on the base. They want his on-base percentage to be high. He's one of the fastest guys out there. And they want him to run down the balls when they start hitting him in that left center field gap when he gets into that tunnel. So that's what if he's doing that, then I think we're fine. You know, the plate production, if he can play hit as a threat in the lineup so he can get on the base, that's where he's going to kill it. When he starts doing that and he starts stealing bags and he starts running down balls in the outfield, I don't think people are going to be thinking too much about the replacement of Springer on the plate production.
All right. So I wanted to do this on yesterday's podcast, but I forgot about it. We all know about the Nolan Arenado trade. I think that the timing of this trade is very odd. I think that they probably could have got a lot more suitors for Nolan Arenado if they would have done it sooner. They maybe could have got maybe better prospects if they would have done it sooner. I don't get why it was only the Cardinals, unless Arenado literally said, look, it's St. Louis or nowhere. Well, I just don't get, I mean, yeah, they traded Austin Gomber, I think his name is, and some, but it wasn't enough for that.
No, they got, so basically it was Austin Gomber, it was Jake Woodford, Angel Rondon, Lucan Baker, John Torres. I have no idea who those guys are, but the Rockies are still retaining $50 million of his remaining $199 million of his contract. So they're, while this is a salary dump, they're eating the money. And a lot of people are saying that the Rockies kind of got fleeced on this. This is
a Matt Schaub type deal.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that name.
This is like Deshaun Watson going to the Denver Broncos or something.
Hey, whoa.
But I don't know. So I have a question about you with Arenado. Arenado, I guess about a year or two ago when it was rumored about him being traded, he kind of got pissed off about it. Do you think Arenado is super glad to be in St. Louis and out of Colorado?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, look, there was a lot of vocal and very public displeasure, thrown out from Arenado for the last couple seasons. And to be like a stud, a very underrated and overlooked stud in Major League Baseball. I always like talking about Arenado, playing his defense, his offense. It's been stellar. I've seen it firsthand playing against him for a lot of years. And it just never really was like given the respect or I guess the recognition that it deserved. I think that he was probably getting a little bit, probably discouraged about what the future of Colorado was going to look like because they weren't making any moves to really be a contender. And they really haven't for a long time. And being the best player, once you start having a little bad blood or, the brass is saying that they're going to do something to help shore up the team and make them compete. And they don't, that's frustrating. Everybody likes to go play and maximize their dollars at certain teams whenever you become free agents or whenever you're signing contracts for whatever team. But ultimately after a certain amount of time, yeah, you want to play for a contender. And so look, St. Louis, top-notch organization. I always wanted to play for them. I played against them a lot. They're stellar. And I think that it's going to be a great addition for them.
Yeah. So if you look at his stats, I know last year you don't take too much from the 2020 season, but looking at his stats, it was down. His batting average was down and it looked like he was unhappy last year. So if he goes to St. Louis, hopefully he plays happy, but Paul Goldschmidt went to St. Louis and he kind of took a downturn a little bit. So hopefully Nolan Arenado doesn't do that, but I just don't get why the Rockies did it now. Why February? Why not earlier? Why not get more teams involved? Because
He may have put his foot down, or there might be something in the contract, where they could it. They may have been handcuffed.
Yeah,
who knows?
I think there are probably a lot of other clubs that really didn't have a lot to really offer. But, I mean, if you look at their lineup now, they have, Paul DeJong, they have Goldschmidt, and they also just signed Mike Smith. No, Mike Smith. Never mind.
Okay, I forgot his name.
Cut that from the audio. Never mind.
You want me to cut that from the audio? Okay. I will not cut that from the audio. Okay.
Yeah, that's staying in. They're like, I can't remember his name. How do you say it? Micah Smith.
Misiafkis?
I thought they got Mike.
Misiafkis?
Moose.
Misiafkis.
No. I don't know Moose. Who's Moose?
You don't know Moose.
Mike Misiasis from the Royals.
Mike Misiasis.
That's not how you say it.
Okay, whatever. So,
hey, you know what? Here's the deal, though, on this. Sometimes it just takes a change of scenery, and you see a lot of guys, especially veteran guys that are all-stars, blossom. I think big things are coming from Arenado and whoever Mike Misiasis is.
It's Mike Misiasis.
This is Moustakas. That's what it is.
Mustafa.
Mufasa.
Okay, this is totally staying in, by the way.
Listen, MF, it's Mufasa.
I want to go ahead and close off this podcast with saying Do we think that Trevor, right? Yeah. I can't remember if it's Trevor Bauer. Do you think that he's worth 3 years, $100 million?
I do not. I think to hold your hat and hang your hat on a, you know, very small sample size and still getting the Cy Young, which is awesome. Congratulations. I mean, it is, you know, you won it, threw up some amazing numbers, but again, 162 games is significantly different. I think it's a big risk, but we'll see.
I think as long as he comes with the sticky stuff that he's using, that he claims is not pine tar, that is how he increased his spin rate by, like, I don't know, 400 RPMs. I'm just saying, he's come out and said that. So, I mean, as long as he's got his sticky stuff, you know, I mean, he can go win another Cy Young. Look at Clay. Clay is passed out.
Clay.
It's an alien glue that increased my spin rate. That's why I got the Cy Young. Oh, my God. I don't think it's sticky stuff. I just think the kid had a great year and he's figuring it out.
So, Clay, did you ever use any type of pine tar?
No, I didn't look up my spin rates. I didn't. Okay. I didn't think it mattered.
that was pre-spin rate era.
Yeah. That was back in the old days when we played in 6 feet of snow both ways, you know, walking in and out. So,
well, you had to watch out for dinosaurs, like Randy Johnson hit a bird. Yeah, like, you
exactly.
Had to watch out for dinosaurs.
It's survival of the fittest out there. You know what I mean? And like now, all these days, they got refrigerated air boxes that they play in, and you know, they put ice on their shoulders. And
you and Lou sticky glue. City frost rates before the game.
Hey, don't talk about Lou. Okay, he's a good man. Okay, that's a good man. Don't you stain that reputation? Okay, we didn't have illegal alien glue for our fingers. Okay, we played the real way. No seams, no gloves, no shoes. No
All righty. Well, Clay, thanks as always for joining us on the Locked On Astros podcast. And we are really good at covering the Locked On Astros. But guys, if you really want to know about the sports in general, why don't you go ahead and listen to Locked On Today podcast? The Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today podcast, wherever you get podcasts. And I'm sure once the Astros win the next World Series, you'll see Brett and I there for probably a minute. And then they'll talk about the Dodgers getting cheated again for 2 minutes.
Alien sticky glue. They need it.
All righty. We'll talk to you next week, and go Astros.